This week on Vaticano, relive the most important moments in Rome surrounding the funeral of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. Look back at key moments from the former pontiff's extraordinary life and testament of faith, and witness how one artist is honoring the late pontiff by painting his portrait. For this and more, Vaticano starts now. Francis entered the audience hall in Rome for the weekly general audience shortly after the Christmas holidays on December the 28th, 2022. He carried a message that startled more than just the faithful worldwide. The pontiff addressed a prayer request to the world.
I ask you all for a special prayer for Pope Emeritus Benedict. Remember him. He is very ill. And ask the Lord to comfort and support him in this witness of love for the Church until the end.
E lo sostenga in questa testimonianza di amore alla Chiesa fino alla fine.
A short time later, the Holy See issued a press release describing the health of the Pope Emeritus as worrying but stable for the moment. 2 days later, on December the 30th, a Holy Mass for Pope Benedict was even held in the Lateran Basilica. Cardinal Angelo De Donatis presided over the Eucharistic celebration, which was attended by numerous faithful, as well as old companions of Joseph Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI.
Wer sich da ein bisschen einliest,
if you read a little, you can only marvel at the depth of theology he communicated, but always in a language that is understandable and that does not hover above the clouds, but stays closer to the reality of life. The connection has remained, and I am very grateful for the courage he had also to acknowledge his limitations. But what he gave to the people with his life and with his teaching, and above all with his preaching, that remains.
The very next morning, December the 31st, 2022, Benedict XVI took his last breath. The Vatican officially announced a little later.
Con dolore vi informiamo che il Papa Emerito Benedetto XVI è deceduto questa mattina alle ore 9:34 nel monastero Mater Ecclesiae in Vaticano.
The news had quickly spread. Already TV stations from all over the world gathered in front of St. Peter's Square. A little more than 200,000 pilgrims from all over the world took the opportunity to personally bid farewell to him as he lay in state. The Requiem Mass with Pope Francis followed on January the 5th. After the Requiem Mass, the coffin was taken into St. Peter's Basilica and finally buried in the same site as the former tomb of Pope John Paul II.
It's a very emotional moment, and I love this funeral service of the Catholic Church because it combines a deep sense of sadness and real loss at the death of Pope Benedict. But it also contains absolutely firm and resolute expressions of faith, that we know that there is life after death and that the promises of Christ are reliable, and therefore we celebrate this with sadness, but with great firmness of faith and confidence in the future.
Many pilgrims may have still remembered the words of Benedict that Pope Francis mentioned the day before at the general audience.
In the words of our dear departed Benedict XVI, I want to remind you, he who believes is never alone. He who has God as Father has many brothers and sisters.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from the Holy Father and the Vatican. On January 9th, Pope Francis met with members of the diplomatic corps accredited to the Holy See and offered them his New Year's wishes. In the audience, the pontiff recalled that the task of diplomacy is to resolve differences and create a climate of trust. As an example, Francis mentioned, among other things, the controversial China agreement, which was recently extended for 2 years. On January 8th, Pope Francis baptized 13 children of Vatican employees. The baptism ceremony took place in the Sistine Chapel. The Pope performs the baptism every year in January in private. Since 1983, the ceremony was moved from St. Peter's Basilica to the Sistine Chapel. The German lay movement, Neuer Anfang, or New Beginning, presented a letter to the Holy Father at the general audience. The letter intends to be a response to the Letter to the Pilgrim People of God in Germany, written by Francis in 2019, and reiterates the fear that the Synodal Way, supported by the German Bishops' Conference, could lead to a schism in the Church. In early January, Pope Francis appointed Angelo Acantino, titular Archbishop of Sabaona, as Apostolic Nuncio to Tanzania. Acantino was ordained a priest in 1994 and previously served as Apostolic Nuncio to Bolivia. He is 56 years old. From January 31st to February 5th, Pope Francis will visit the Democratic Republic of Congo as well as South Sudan. The apostolic journey will focus on meetings with victims of violence. The Vatican calls it an ecumenical pilgrimage for peace. Francis's trip to Africa was originally scheduled to take place as early as 2022, but was postponed due to the Pope's health problems. Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. My name is Benjamin Crockett for EWTN Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano. May 28, 1977, at only 50 years of age, Joseph Ratzinger was ordained Archbishop of Munich and Freising. One month later, Pope Paul VI made him a cardinal. This was how a new stage in his ministry started that would last the rest of his life. In 1978, Paul VI died. And the young Cardinal Ratzinger traveled to Rome to participate in the conclave that would proclaim John Paul I as the Supreme Pontiff. 33 days after his election, the Pope died, and the Cardinal electors returned to Rome. This time, the Assembly of Cardinals surprised the world with a non-Italian Pope, Cardinal Karol Wojtyła, Archbishop of Krakow. On October the 16th, 1978, the Church and the entire world welcome to Polish Pope, John Paul II. But the esteem and respect between the Archbishop of Krakow and the Archbishop of Munich and Freising had begun to grow much earlier. Since the Second Vatican Council, both had heard of the other, and they met thanks to their respective writings and publications. Between them, there was already a reciprocal admiration, both at the intellectual and the theological levels. And it's precisely thanks to this esteem that Pope John Paul II wished to have him at his side in Rome. After different unsuccessful proposals from Rome, in 1981, the Polish Pope appointed Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith and president of the Pontifical Biblical Commission and the International Theological Commission. At that point, the Bavarian cardinal officially renounced his leadership of the Archdiocese of Munich and Freising and moved definitively to Rome. From this moment, a deep friendship started between them. For the next 24 years as prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, Cardinal Ratzinger worked tirelessly on the elaboration and distribution of doctrinal documents. In 1986, John Paul II appointed him president of the commission that would be tasked with the writing of the Catechism of the Universal Church. And in 2002, he was named Dean of the Cardinal's College. Another highlight of his years at the service of the Pope and the Church was when, in the year 2000, the congregation published the third part of the Message of Fatima, along with the theological commentary, redacted by the prefect himself. Finally, in 2005, just days before the death of John Paul II, Cardinal Ratzinger wrote the meditations that accompanied the Stations of the Cross at the Colosseum, within which the guardian of doctrine denounced the sins of the Church before the entire world, inviting repentance and penance.
Carissimi fratelli e sorelle, alle 21:37 il nostro amatissimo Santo Padre Giovanni Paolo II è tornato alla casa del Padre.
On April the 2nd, 2005, John Paul II died. Funeral Mass in St. Peter's Square, Cardinal Ratzinger, Dean of the Cardinal's College, remembered his beloved predecessor with emotion.
Possiamo essere sicuri che il nostro amato Papa sta adesso alla finestra della casa del Padre, ci vede e ci benedice. Sì, ci benedica, Santo Padre.
After a brief conclave, the cardinal electors chose as the successor of the Polish Pope his best friend. Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who then became the 265th pontiff of the Church of Rome, taking the name Benedict XVI.
Habemus Papam, Cardinalem Ratzinger.
On April the 19th, 2005, after one of the shortest conclaves in history, the College of Cardinals elected the famed German theologian and cardinal, Joseph Ratzinger, as the successor to Pope St. John Paul II.
Come ho già spesso più volte, le parole che sono risuonate nel mio cuore sono state: Signore, perché mi chiedi questo? E che cosa mi chiedi? È un peso grande quello che mi pongo sulle spalle, ma se tu me lo chiedi, sulla tua parola accetterò le reti, sicuro che tu mi guiderai anche con tutte le mie debolezze.
From the central balcony of St. Peter's, the new pontiff presented himself as a humble worker in the vineyard of the Lord, taking the name Benedict XVI in honor of Pope Benedict XV and St. Benedict of Nursia. 5 days later, during the Mass to begin his pontificate, he outlined his vision for his ministry as Pope.
Il mio vero programma di governo è quello di non fare la mia volontà, di non perseguire le mie idee, ma di mettermi in ascolto con tutta quanta la Chiesa della parola e della volontà del Signore e lasciarmi guidare da Lui, così che sia Egli stesso a guidare la Chiesa in questa ora della nostra storia.
And that's how his papacy began. It lasted for 8 years.
With the new pope came a new style of governance in the Vatican, characterized by sobriety, dialogue, and a return to the essentials. His kindness, closeness, and humility surprised many observers who had long heard he was a rigid and aloof theologian and inquisitor. For Benedict XVI, the biggest problem of our time was the decline of faith, and he constantly reminded us of the importance of actively proclaiming the truth, embracing tradition, and rediscovering sacred scripture and the mystery of the Eucharist. Among his numerous magisterial documents, the first of his three encyclical letters, Deus Caritas Est, stood out as an ode to Christian love and a key to understanding his pontificate.
Oggi nella terminologia che si conosce oggi amore appare spesso molto lontano da quanto pensa un cristiano se parla della carità cristiana, ma vorrei mostrare che si tratta di un unico movimento con diverse dimensioni che l'eros, questo dono dell'amore tra uomo e donna, viene dalla stessa fonte della bontà del Creatore, come poi la possibilità di un amore che rinuncia a sé in favore dell'altro, che eros si trasforma in agape nella misura nella quale i due si amano realmente e uno finalmente non cerca più se stesso e la sua gioia, le sue delizie, ma cerca soprattutto il bene dell'altro. E così questo eros che si trasforma in carità, in un cammino di purificazione, di approfondimento.
For Benedict XVI, love would drive us necessarily to seek unity with our fellow Christians, sincere dialogue with other religions, particularly Islam and Judaism, and greater engagement with an increasingly secularized West, inviting it back to its Christian roots. He established a new Vatican department dedicated to once again evangelizing former Christian strongholds. During more than 30 international trips, the Pope connected with millions of faithful of all ages and social classes in person, and they welcomed him enthusiastically. Young people turned out in huge numbers for World Youth Days in Cologne, Sydney, and Madrid, and he challenged them.
Are you using the gift you have been given, the power which the Holy Spirit is even now prepared to release within you? What legacy will you leave to young people yet to come? What difference will you make?
During his pontificate, Benedict XVI presented to the world a church capable of recognizing truth and acting with justice. In the face of scandals that plagued the final years of his ministry, he began a process of legislative and economic reforms within the Vatican walls, particularly to better address sex abuse cases and raise the standards of financial management by the Holy See. Before the world, he took responsibility for the errors and abuses committed by clergy, made humble apologies, and started a path of purification and penance. In 2007, he addressed a particularly difficult situation in China with a letter to Chinese faithful, exhorting respectful and edifying dialogue for unity and ecclesial communion. In his own words, the 8 years weren't easy.
Ci sono stati anche momenti in cui le acque erano agitate ed il vento contrario, come in tutta la storia della Chiesa, il Signore sembrava dormire. Ma ho sempre saputo che in quella barca c'è il Signore e ho sempre saputo che la barca della Chiesa non è mia, non è nostra, ma è sua. E il Signore non la lascia affondare. È Lui che la conduce, certamente.
On February the 11th, 2013, Benedict XVI surprised the world when he announced he would renounce the Petrine ministry.
Non c'è più un ritornare nel privato. La mia decisione di rinunciare all'esercizio attivo del ministero non revoca questo. Non ritorno alla vita privata, a una vita di viaggi, incontri, ricevimenti, conferenze, eccetera. Non abbandono la croce, ma resto in modo nuovo presso il Signore crocifisso.
Non porto più la potestà dell'ufficio per il governo della Chiesa, ma nel servizio della preghiera resto, per così dire, nel recinto di San Pietro.
We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano.
The Pope Emeritus understood that it was important to portray this historical moment of his pontificate on canvas for history. He has chosen me, and it's a great responsibility for me.
For the last 4 years, Natalia Tsarkova has painted Benedict XVI in his mission as Pope Emeritus, surrounded by those closest to him, his pontifical family.
Monsignor Georg is his private secretary, and he symbolically writes down everything Pope Benedict says for history.
Four consecrated women are members of the Memores Domini Association. They dedicate themselves to the service of the Pope Emeritus, to accompany and support him in his mission.
Here in the foreground is Sister Carmela, looking lovingly and attentively at the Pope. And it's as if the Pope is lighting up her face, and she's sewing a button to his cassock. And there's a folk saying, if you want to make a wish, you must sew on a button. And then Sister Carmela makes a wish that the Pope will always be healthy. Actually, you have to ask her what she's wishing for. And behind her is the cook. She holds the menu. The menu is a small little piece of paper because the Pope doesn't eat much. Her name is Sister Loredana. There's Rosella in the back, and she's doing a little bit of everything. She does the living room, she does the laundry, and she does the cleaning. And the fourth one is Sister Christina. She tends and takes care of the church, the house chapel.
The chapel is painted on the upper part. This is the place where Pope Benedict prays and draws spiritual strength.
Sister Christina, she is carrying roses. Roses are also a symbol of Mary, the Virgin Mary, a symbol of love. And roses are Pope Benedict's favorite flowers.
Tsarkova tells us that Sister Christina also took care of Pope Benedict's brother, Georg Ratzinger. Pope Emeritus Benedict invited Natalia Tsarkova to work on the portrait while his brother Georg Ratzinger was still alive.
And I put them together as if here they were one. He leans in and listens to what Pope Benedict says, and you can see he's thinking about something beautiful. He's very inward focused too in his thoughts, and he's thinking about something that lights up his face from the inside.
Natalia Tsarkova is a painter from Russia. She moved from Moscow to Rome in 1994. Since then, she's become the official portrait artist of the popes. Despite differences in culture and belief, Tsarkova is Orthodox. She says that she doesn't feel any division between her and the subjects of her paintings. After many visits to the Pope Emeritus during the past 4 years, she started to see herself as part of the pontifical family as well.
In fact, this angel is painted after me. It's kind of symbolic. It's not me, it's an angel. But it's painted after me because that's how I feel in my heart. I'm there with them. And when I was painting this portrait, it was the hard times of COVID isolation that came, and I was alone with this painting. And it was good that there was this painting. I used to get up and say, "Good morning, Santo Padre." And when I went to bed, "Good night, Santo Padre."
Tsarkova uses light as an important theme in her paintings. She says that when Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI resigned, he didn't retreat into the shadows, but instead began his new mission, the mission of the Pope Emeritus.